Welcome to the Gonzo Chronicles. I'm your host, Cyrus Alderwood, the official spokesman for Generation X. Stick around. It's going to get weird, as always. Welcome back to another episode of the Gonzo Chronicles. Hey, as it turns out, we are well on our way to our 6,000th download. So excellent, man. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in and listening to the show when I do take some time to get around to putting one up. You know, considering I pay for this and make it free, you think I'd do this about once a week. And maybe I probably ought to. But I've promised that crap before. We've seen where that's got me. Hey, I wanted to come on and do a quick show today. Today is April 28th, Sunday. Close to about 7 p.m. You know, this week, it's been an interesting week. But this week in pop culture, in some music news, I noticed we had a new song out by one of our classic favorite bands as Gen Xers. How many Motley Crue fans are out there listening to this? Hopefully every one of you is a Crue fan. The new song comes out. I'm just going to give you a little kind of a side-eye critique of this. But the song is called Dogs of War. So I guess Motley has a new album out. Now, they've had a lot of issues, legal issues. They've been battling with a guitar player, longtime guitarist, Mick Mars, for quite a long time. He was unable, due to health, to actually go on tour. So the guitar player, John Five, who, if you're a hard rock fan, you know John Five, probably one of the most excellent guitar players ever. Amazing, amazing artist. Does amazing work when he fills in with other bands and then does his own stuff. And just an amazing artist altogether. Got nothing against John Five. So, that being said, I guess Motley Crue, one of the things I read somewhere, and I could be wrong, so go kind of look some of this up for yourself. If you're interested, there's some YouTube videos that will explain what's going on between Motley Crue and Mick Mars, but those of you who have been a long-time Motley fan from the beginning, that's the beginning of Shout at the Devil. But in the beginning, Mick Mars was there. And Mick Mars is, he's such a unique talent on guitar. One of the things I always loved about Motley Crue is once one of their songs came on the radio and you heard that guitar, you knew right away you were listening to Motley Crue and Mick Mars, right? So you knew his signature sound. And that has been the signature sound of Motley Crue, every album that he's been on. And, I think it's telling that they didn't want to sort of pay the man for using his music. And, on tour, he should have gotten a cut anyway. John Five should have gotten paid. If I had to choose, if it were up to me, I think the band would have been cordial enough to say, okay, the three original members that are on tour, we're going to take a little less. We're going to give John Five a little bit more. And that split can go half of that to Mick Mars. Because Mick is sick. Mick is Motley Crue. And, they've been friends forever, right? So why taint that relationship and soil anything going forward? Not a lot of people in the previous years have been complaining about Motley Crue when they went on tour that Vince Neil sounds horrible. He has. I've seen live footage out there. Stuff on YouTube and Rumble. God does not sound good. His lyrics are so bad that it takes away from the music, which brought up another controversy. A lot of people have been saying that they've noticed For example, Nikki Sixx, when he stops playing bass and he moves his hands around during a song, you still hear the bass playing. And they've heard, I guess, music that was playing that didn't fit the lyrics that Vince was singing at the time. So a lot of rumors have been going around that they used pre-recorded tracks at their live shows. Well, Mick Mars, in his frustration, which it looks like he's going to win this court case, from what I read, because Motley Crue has been, the rest of the band's been dragging their heels and getting the information to the attorneys of Mick Mars and to the court as they've asked. They've asked him to give documentation. They've waited 8, 10, 12 months for they would dig it up and give it to him. It's pissed the court system off, pissed the judges off, pissed the lawyers off. And looks like Mick is probably going to win whatever, in this court case. But Mick Mars actually confirmed that Motley Crue uses pre-recorded tracks at live shows. Now, that's not a big deal in and of itself. A lot of these musicians are getting older. Their voices are not the same. Probably, I'd say all these older bands probably do that. Stones have probably done it for years. Aerosmith. I don't want to say Kiss does it, but maybe some to some degree. They're just a great live band. But, I can understand why he would use pre-recorded tracks for Vince Neil's voice if you want the fans to enjoy and actually understand what the singer is singing. I have a little beef about that too. When Motley Crue came out with the Dr. Feelgood tour, when that album came out, I was so excited. It was my first time getting to see Motley Crue, and I saw him in Johnson City. I have to say, of all the live bands that I saw during that hair metal and hard rock era of the 80s and 90s, I guess going all the way through the 90s, I've seen a ton of bands. That has to be one of the worst live shows, if not the worst live show I've ever seen. They blew the speakers on, I think probably on purpose. So they only did like 9 songs and then had to get out of town because their plane was leaving. But I read in one of those rock magazines I used to read back in the 80s and early 90s that when I was in high school that had happened in a bunch of cities and people were pissed off wanting their money back. Well, you don't get refunds. So the music was okay to some, for the most part, but for God's sake, man, the lyrics are horrible. Vince Neil, it was just even bad back then. So this song, Dogs of War, comes out this week. Now, Mick Mars has been cutting some solos of his own, and he's got three that I've seen on YouTube. One's called Right Side of Wrong, the other one's called Undone, and another one's called Loyal to the Lie. All three of these are really great songs, and they have that Mick Mars guitar sound. Mick Mars is playing. So it sounds a little bit more like what you'd think a Motley Crue album would sound like, only Mick is singing. And Dogs of War, on the other hand, has John Five at guitar. And this, now I'm not saying it's a bad song, but on the scale of kick-ass songs by Motley Crue, this fails to live up to the standard that these guys have set over the years. It's not the guitar playing, it's not John Five, it's just not Motley Crue. And it's kind of like when they had John Corabi in there for that one album. It's not like the album was a stinker. If it was like a different band with a different name, I'd probably liked it. But when you hold it up to what a Motley Crue album's supposed to be, that's the one album when Vince Neil was kicked out of the band. When you hold it up to the standard of what a Motley Crue album was and should be, that we fans have gotten used to, it just doesn't hold water. Call the band something else other than Motley Crue. It's still a good song. But it's just not Motley freaking Crue. It doesn't live up to that standard. When you see Motley Crue, on the logo, and the video, by the way, the video would be cool if I was 12. But there's still those lingering complaints out there about Mick, about the Vince Neil's live vocals, and it's just, do I like the song? If I didn't know who the song was, I think it was okay. But you tell me it's a Motley Crue song, and I'm like, oh God, no, please tell me that's not Motley Crue. It would be like, I don't know, Guns N' Roses coming out and somebody else doing it after, Welcome to the Jungle that wasn't Axl Rose. So you put say you put somebody from the Wallflowers in singing. You know what I mean? It's just not the same. And the guitar is not the same. So it's just a totally different sound. Does not live up to the standard of Motley Crue. Very disappointed, actually. Again, no shot at John Five. Guy's a killer guitar player. It's just not Motley Crue. You're not Motley Crue without Mick Mars. It's just not gonna work. It's like some bands, you take one of the people out, it's just, you might as well have a different band because it just doesn't sound right. So that being said, I wanted to actually go into so I'll just, what do you guys think? Go watch Dogs of War on YouTube, then look up Mick Mars' individual songs that he's done. Right Side of Wrong is awesome. Like them all, you know. It sounds more like Motley Crue than Motley Crue's new song. But again, that just tells you the influence that Mick Mars had in that band. That's his signature sound. So, who was the most important player in the band? Might have been Mick Mars after all these years. You know, and then, I know he's sick and old, and he's like 71. These guys are in their 60s. They should have let it go a long time ago. I don't mind recording new music because you can fix the tracks and the vocals in the studio, but the live stuff and one more tour, nah, not interested, man. Just not interested. That being said, Motley Crue's had a ton of albums, some really good stuff, and this new album I haven't listened to either. I may listen to it if I can, find it on YouTube. Some of the other tracks, but not gonna go out of my way to buy it, simply because I don't know. Not that it's probably still pretty good, in its own way, but just not interested just yet. But they've had a lot of albums and a lot of songs out there. So I actually wanted to put together, just kind of give you a quick list of the top four Motley Crue albums, in my humble opinion. If I could, if you disagree, then leave comments on the podcast down below. So my Mount Rushmore of Motley Crue's albums. The first album that came out was called Too Fast for Love. That was such a raw album. My first experience though with Motley Crue was when Home Sweet Home came out. I saw that video. I was like, man, that's a killer power ballad. No, actually, let me take that back. Smoking in the Boys' Room. That one came out, but that was a remake, but it was a cover song. But it was still a good song. And so that kind of got me into Motley Crue, and then the Home Sweet Home came out, and that's obviously one of the best power ballads of all time, if not at the very top of the list. But once I found out who Motley Crue was, I started looking back at some of their other albums. I'm like, holy smokes, I was blown away by Too Fast for Love. It was the rawest album I think I'd ever heard. It's almost like you didn't have a studio to put the polish on it, and it was just these raw tracks. And man, was it awesome. Too Fast for Love was a great song. Public Enemy number one, Live Wire. To this day, that's still one of my favorite hard rock albums from that 80s era. I would throw that if I had to do like a top 20, Too Fast for Love gets thrown in there, without a doubt. But I didn't put that in the mountain. So in the Mount Rushmore of albums. So let me just list all the albums first. There's Too Fast for Love was their first one. Shout at the Devil came out next, and that's the one that had Helter Skelter. Some of you may remember that version. Then Theater of Pain came out. Awesome, awesome album. That was my first like real experience with Motley Crue, and freaking loved it. Even the songs that they didn't release in video or in single, just that album just blows me away. I still love that album. Girls, 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 another great album. Now, by this time, these guys probably were almost dead. Nikki Sixx almost killed himself on heroin twice. And he wrote a song called Kickstart My Heart for the next album, after one of those events. But Girls, 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 amazing album. That was, I guess, the last of their so-called drug years, because they all sort of went into rehab. They came out with Dr. Feelgood, which was their fifth album. And then Vince Neil gets kicked off the band, kicked out of the band. He does a solo album, which is not bad, you know. Actually, he kept the Motley Crue feel with whoever he had playing guitar in that. They sort of tried to still mimic that Mick Mars feel to it. Motley Crue had an album that came out by John Corabi, And of course, you have Mick Mars on that album too. So the style of music is a little bit different, but you can still tell it's Mick Mars playing guitar, no doubt. Again, not a bad album, but it was Motley Crue because, Vince Neil wasn't there, even though he's a shitty live performer. Generation Swine came out later on in the 90s. And then New Tattoo was another album that came out. And then the most recent one, other than this one, was Saints of Los Angeles, which I don't know if you've listened to that album. Really good album. Like, I wouldn't want to hear them play it live. I know they did the one of this Carnival of Sins tour where they did some stuff from that, but like, good album. Again, by then, not a live act you want to see. But if I had to put my Mount Rushmore top songs or top albums, Too Fast for Love, Shout at the Devil, Girls, 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 and then Theater of Pain, the top four, the first four releases, somewhere after that, it just, I think the commercialism sort of got to me. And, they were just a big conglomerate. I mean, it's like they might as well have been a big corporation. The live music wasn't good. Studio stuff was still solid. But it's those early years, I think probably just because it was influential during my youth. Those would be my top four, my Mount Rushmore of Motley Crue albums. But let's do a top 10 list of songs. So there's like two that come off of Too Fast for Love. And my top 10 list of Motley Crue songs, this may be very different from yours. So whatever your favorites are, again, toss them in the comments. And then if you have a cool memory related to one of those songs, share it. Public Enemy number one and Live Wire make that list for me. Off of Theater of Pain, or excuse me, Shout at the Devil. That Shout at the Devil song actually makes my top 10 list. Also, Too Young to Fall in Love. Awesome, awesome song. You can't go wrong with some of those that were on Shout at the Devil. But when it comes to Theater of Pain, I had three off of that one. Keep Your Eye on the Money. All right, that was never a video release or a singles release. Great song. Louder Than Hell. Also, great song. If I'm going to start a playlist of Motley Crue, that song kicks the whole thing off. Home Sweet Home. You have to throw that one in there because it's just a timeless piece it never gets old. When it comes on the radio, I turn it up. Then I have Wild Side from the Girls, Girls, Girls album. Also, All in the Name of. So that was a cool All in the Name of Rock and Roll. That was to me the best song off the Girls, Girls, Girls album. Even though the whole thing rocked, man, I freaking loved it from start to finish. There was a ballad on there called You're All I Need. They did a video for that, but it was so controversial. They had to the MTV wouldn't play it, which is a shame. You can find it on YouTube. Awesome song. It's kind of real touching too. So it's get a chance to check it out if you haven't already. And then if you want to go to Feel Good, Kickstart My Heart. That was the only song off that album that hit my top 10 list. So there's my top 10. If I had to give an honorable mention, Saints of Los Angeles was a killer song off of one of their previous albums just a few years back. Can't go wrong with some Motley Crue though. I don't know what's going to happen with the court case, but keep your eye on that too. Keep your eye on the money. I guess that's what Mick Mars is thinking right now. I don't know. Yeah, it's that signature series, the sound of Mick Mars. You can't mistake it for anybody else. Sorry, John Five, but does Dogs of War live up? Is it a great, it's a cool song? Like I said, a bit of if I was 12 years old, I'd like the video. But is it Motley Crue? Motley Crue is a standard. It's a sound. And it doesn't live up to it. It'd be like AC/DC trying to play Metallica. Just doesn't work. Just doesn't work, Or AC/DC trying to start doing power ballads. Something just don't fit there. Anyway, what are your thoughts on this? Motley Crue, one of your favorite bands of the 80s? If not, who's your top two or three favorite bands? I certainly have. We've done a couple of hair show episodes on the Gonzo Chronicles. May end up doing another one. Who knows? But anyway, long live Mick Mars. Hope he gets well, though. Hope he gets better soon. I know he's had like spinal issues, so I don't think it ever will go away. But you wish the guy well. And if he's gonna still, at the age of 71, crank out rocking tunes, who knew a 71-year-old man could rock like that? I got mellow over the years, and I'm nowhere near that age, nowhere near it. So I'm a few decades off. Anyway, what do you think? Check out Mick Mars. Let me know what you think. Thanks again for checking out another episode of the Gonzo Chronicles. Hey, real quick, I'm a bit excited because a book I've been working on, I've mentioned it on the show here before for like the last 18, 20 months, found its way to the publisher's hands this past week. So wish me luck, folks, and some good vibes, some good prayers. I'd love to see this book get picked up. It's took a lot of energy and a lot of time, big chunk out of my last 2 years. So let's hope it's a success. I'm actually working, actually in process now, back on some Barry Dick stuff, and doing the weekly writing prompt challenge, which is going to end up turning into a handful of good short stories. I'm going to put out in a compilation too at some point soon. Soon, I mean, within the next few months probably. I need to polish some of those stories. They're not terribly long, but they're going to be fun and very diverse, actually. I don't mean that in a politically correct way. I just mean you might have some drama, you might have a thriller, you might have a murder, you might have a Barry Dick story, you might have some comedy. Who knows? Some sci-fi. It all happens. That's the thing about the magic about a writing prompt. You sit down and start writing something, you just never know where it's going to go. But thanks again, everybody, for tuning in. I appreciate it if you go to Amazon, check out one of my books. And I sell a couple of books a month. I could keep paying for the radio show over the podcast. Actually, what is that? Sell three books and covers the podcast. Yeah. So I've sold nothing for 2 months. I'd appreciate you guys maybe going picking up Dark Places. Or if you want a really good slapstick laugh, go pick up A Man Called Douche. My God, that book. I think people are just afraid to buy a title like that, but it's funny. Trust me, it'll change your life. Not for the better, but thanks again, everybody. I'll see you on down the road.